Psalm 127, verses 1 and 2. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep.
By show of hands, how many of you love to sleep? How many of you wish you could get more sleep than you do? Is there anybody here who feels like sleep is a complete waste of time? Well, there we go. Bible has a lot to say about sleep, so this morning I'm starting a three-part series on the subject. The first installment this morning is for those who won't sleep, because there are a few like that. And next week is for those who can't sleep, because there are probably a lot more like that. And then the next week is for those who will sleep, because we will all sleep. I know it's kind of an odd subject, but it's one that's become very important to me in the last several months. It all came about because of an episode that happened to me last December. My wife and I were in Maryland with my son. We'd taken him to the Army-Navy football game. We're driving back to Annapolis late that night. I was driving, and I started to see double. And the longer I drove, the worse it got. And finally, I pulled over and said, "Arlette, I can't do this anymore. It's getting dangerous." And she took over. Now, I've been to the doctor, and I'm okay, so I'm not seeking sympathy, and I don't tell that story for that reason. But what I have learned since is that oftentimes, double vision is a symptom of sleep deprivation. And I've found I can bring it on myself if I don't get enough sleep. This whole episode has raised my awareness about the value of sleep. And I've changed my ways in terms of getting to bed at a decent time. I've still got a ways to go. But I've also discovered the Bible has a lot to say about the subject. And it's not one I've ever heard addressed from the pulpit. And I've been in ministry a lot of years now and grew up around it. So it's well worth our time to take a look at the subject of sleep. As I said this morning, for those who won't sleep, there are some people who think there's some virtue in not sleeping. They say things like, "Sleep is a waste of time," or "I will sleep when I'm dead," or they'll quote Ben Franklin, who said, "There will be enough sleeping in the grave." Well, I suppose that's true. I was exposed to that mentality early in my ministry career. My old mentor, Al Metzger, was a workaholic, and he just burned the candle at both ends. And his favorite saying was, "I'd rather burn out than rust out." Well, he sure didn't rust out. And I've often wondered if, in fact, he didn't burn out. I've met a lot of people over the years with that kind of a mindset. They burn the candle at both ends, and they act like anybody else who doesn't just isn't spiritual. Because if you were spiritual, you wouldn't be slacking and wasting your time in bed. When I was a student at Moody Bible Institute, on Sunday nights, I would attend the First Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana. And the biggest reason was, number one, I liked the preacher, Jack Hiles, but they would send a bus by Moody, and I would get on the bus and ride with them. The bus was manned by their Bible college students, because the church had a Bible college associated with it. And after I got to know these guys, I realized they weren't your normal college students. A lot of them were working their way through school and putting in a lot of hours at their work. And in addition, they were putting in lots of hours with the church. I mean, their big emphasis is soul winning, and their version of soul winning is street witnessing and knocking on doors. And everybody was involved in that. And these students were just burning themselves to a frazzle. I asked them about it one night. And they said, "Well, you know, you really don't need as much sleep as most people say. You can really get by on 5 hours of sleep." And the impression was given to me that that was kind of the prevailing mindset in the school, that you get used to sleeping less and ministering more. And they really made a virtue out of getting just 5 hours of sleep a night. Well, see, if I only sleep 5 hours a night, I've got more time to do things for God, right? And that almost sounds spiritual, doesn't it? I mean, I would sacrifice my sleep for the Lord. It just almost sounds spiritual, but it's not. It flies in the face of what I think is the clear teaching of Scripture, particularly the verse we're looking at this morning. This morning's text is Psalm 127, verse 2. The psalmist says, "It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows." And the bread of sorrows, kind of an odd expression there, but it's talking about toiling so hard for your food. for he giveth his beloved sleep. Let me paraphrase that in modern day parlance. See, the one who gets up early and sits up late is one who's burning the candle at both ends. And so what the psalmist is saying is, it is vain for you to burn the candle at both ends. Burning the candle at both ends is not a virtue. It is a vanity. The word vain means to no purpose or worthless. You may think you're doing yourself a favor by going without sleep. You may think you're doing an employer a favor by going without sleep. But what this verse is telling us is you're really deceiving yourself. It's really vain to go without sleep. So the message this morning is this. It's vain to burn the candle at both ends. And I'm going to show you three reasons why. Reason number one is this. Because everyone needs sleep. You know, there's something mysterious about sleep. I've done a lot of reading about it since December, and no one seems to know exactly why we sleep. What scientists do know is that your brain is more active while you're sleeping than it is while you're awake. Isn't that interesting? They don't know why. They're not sure what the brain is doing. Some people think the brain is dumping toxins. Some think it's organizing all that happened during the day. We really don't know. There's a mystery there. But there is a growing consensus in the scientific and medical community that sleep is something we should pay more attention to. It's something that all human beings need. It is a necessary part of life. All human beings need to sleep, and the body is designed for us to sleep. I understand there are medical conditions that sometimes get in the way, and I'm not discounting that or belittling that in any way. I'm speaking in general terms. God designed the body to sleep. The greatest exception to that I've ever read about is a genetic disorder called fatal familial insomnia. You ever heard of that? Fatal familial insomnia? Reports are there's only about 20 families in the world that have this genetic disorder. I'm glad it's that way. Because what happens is if you inherit the disorder, somewhere along about your middle adulthood or late adulthood, you start being sleepless. And you eventually develop perpetual insomnia. And that's accompanied by lots of physical symptoms, uncontrolled muscular jerks and tics. They finally become psychotic, and mercifully, they finally slip into a coma and die. It's just reinforcing the fact that whether you can sleep or not, the body needs sleep. Now, whether sleep is part of the original creation or part of the fall is kind of an interesting question to pursue because there are people on both sides. Irenaeus, who is one of the church fathers, who's born about the year 130 AD, he claimed that the only reason God put Adam to sleep in the garden was so he could operate and take out the rib. Otherwise, Adam would never have slept. And then he extrapolated from that that when we get to heaven, we won't sleep. I'm not sure where he got his information. I don't think it came from the Bible. I think it came from an overactive imagination. I think God has designed the body so that it needs to sleep. Look at our text again, Psalm 127, verse 2. It's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Sleep is a gift from God. I would prefer you didn't exercise that gift during the Sunday morning service, but sleep is a gift from God. And folks who struggle with sleeping at night maybe understand a little more than the rest of us what a wonderful gift it is to be able to sleep at night. Now, like any of God's gifts, sleep is a gift that can be abused. And the Bible warns us against abusing this sleep. Proverbs 6, verse 10 says, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. Must have been a pretty important warning because he repeated it verbatim in chapter 24. There are two ways to abuse sleep. One is by sleeping too much. The other is by not sleeping enough. The body was designed to need sleep. It is vain for you to burn the candle at both ends. Reason number one is because the body needs sleep. Reason number two is because sleep reduces productivity. You know, those who spurn sleep often do so because they think it's a waste of time. I mean, if I don't sleep, look at all that I can get done. And if you think about it, we do sleep a lot. I mean, a third of our life is spent in bed. If you average 8 hours a night, by the time you're 60 years old, you will have spent 20 years in bed. How's that sound? If you reach 90, you will have spent 30 years in bed. It's a long time laying in bed, isn't it? It's a lot of unconscious time. Think about all you could do with those 20 or 30 years if you just stayed up and used that time. Well, on the surface, that sounds smart. The reality is it's vain. The psalmist understood this 3,000 years ago. And science is really just now catching up with what the psalmist told us so long ago. Staying awake to work longer hours does not make you more productive. It has the opposite effect. What I'm about to give you comes from a book called Brain Rules by Dr. John Medina. There's a chapter in there about sleep and a couple of studies that he cites. The first has to do with students. He says you take an A student who's used to scoring in the top 10% of virtually anything she does. One study shows that if she gets a little less than 7 hours of sleep a night and maybe 40 extra minutes on the weekend, she will drop from scoring in the top 10% to the lower 9% of those who are not sleep deprived. Now look at what just happened. Here's a student who was used to getting plenty of sleep, and then she cut back to less than 7 hours a night. She went from scoring in the upper 10% to the lower 9%. But you can hear her saying, but wait, I stayed up late to study. I pulled an all-nighter so I would know what was on the test the next day. You see, there's a sense in which that sounds logical, but the reality is just the opposite. You're probably shooting yourself in the foot because you're undermining your brain's ability to perform. Here's another study. This comes from the Army. Soldiers responsible for operating complex military hardware, if they lose one night of sleep, their ability to operate the hardware drops by about 30%. If they miss two nights of sleep, their ability to do so drops by 60%. So much for staying up late to be able to work better, huh? This I thought was really interesting. That same study says that if soldiers sleep 6 or less hours for 5 nights in a row, it has the same effect as if they stayed up 2 nights in a row. Staggering, isn't it? See, those who think that they're more productive when they don't get sleep are really whistling in the dark, because that's not how it works. You're really undercutting your productivity. Burning the candle at both ends is vain because it results in a lack of productivity. Now, the flip side of that is that when you get enough sleep, it tends to create greater productivity. This comes from another book called The Sleep Revolution by Arianna Huffington. It has to do with professional athletes. She says that professional sports have begun to look at sleep as the ultimate performance enhancer. How many of you know the name Tom Brady, New England quarterback? He goes to bed every night at 8:30 p.m. Now, I guess on game nights he can't, but that's his standard bedtime. How about LeBron James? You know that name? Basketball? 4-time NBA MVP? He reports to sleeping 12 hours a night. 12 hours a night. Steve Nash, you know that name? Another big NBA star? He naps every game day. You've heard of the tennis pro Roger Federer? Roger Federer says if he doesn't get 11 to 12 hours of sleep each night, he's in danger of injuring himself on the court. The Chicago Bears football team has actually hired a sports science coordinator who teaches players how to develop good sleep habits and proper napping techniques. Imagine hiring someone to teach you how to sleep. That's the ultimate performance enhancer. And I could go on and on and on with studies like this. I just, at some point, you got to draw the line and say, well, that's enough of that. But in the sports field, from swimming to track to basketball to baseball, I mean, people who get more sleep track their performance, and it's always enhanced when they get more sleep. This idea of burning the candle at both ends is vain. It's deceptive. Because instead of increasing your productivity, the result is to diminish your productivity. Burning the candle at both ends is vain. Number one, because the body needs sleep. Number two, because it results in lowered productivity. And number three, because sleep deprivation is actually harmful to you. Lowering your productivity is one thing. Doing yourself real harm is another thing. And again, I can cite study after study related to this. This comes from the trucking and busing industry. 40% of truckers, 29% of bus drivers admit that on days they work, they rarely, if ever, get a good night's sleep the night before. Here are the results of that. Accidents involving trucks and buses are responsible for more than 4,000 deaths and 100,000 injuries every year. Think there's a correlation between the two? Did it ever strike you that major airlines have sleep guidelines for their pilots? They can only work so many hours in the row, but we don't do that for truck drivers or bus drivers. So you can stay up all night and drive your truck. Nobody's going to stop you. Can't do that if you're a pilot, because they understand the importance of getting a good night's sleep. This comes from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. They estimate that 100,000 police-reported crashes are the direct result of driver fatigue each year. That results in 1,550 deaths, 71,000 injuries, and about $12.5 billion in monetary loss. And they think that's just the tip of the iceberg, because very few people will say when it happens, well, it happened because I didn't get any sleep. And so they think it's significantly underreported. A couple of weeks ago, I was driving home on a Friday afternoon, and I got off 71 Highway at 58, you know where the Belton McDonald's is. I'm sitting on the ramp wanting to turn left onto 58, and the car in front of me doesn't move. The light is green, and he's sitting there. And all the cars in front of him are going through the light, and we're sitting, I'm honking my horn, and he's sitting there. This was my version of road rage, honk my horn. Well, the light turns red, and he's still just sitting there. So there's enough room between me and the guardrail to pull around him and get in front of him. So I'm pulling around, and I look over, and he slumped over his steering wheel. Well, I jump down to my car. I go pounding on his window, and he starts up like this. He's, ho, 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 ho. I said, are you okay? He said, yeah. He said, I just fell asleep. He said, I've been awake since midnight. That man was seriously sleep deprived. Imagine that would have happened 5 minutes earlier while I was on the highway. What might that have meant in that case? He's dangerous. Did you know that sleep deprivation can have the same effect on you as alcohol? Here's the legal limit as the United States defines intoxication. A blood alcohol content of 0.08% is considered drunk, intoxicated. If you go without sleep for 17 straight hours, it has the same physical effect on you as if you had a blood alcohol content of 0.05%, just a little less than being drunk. If you are awake 24 straight hours, it has the same effect on you as if you had a blood alcohol content of 0.1%, well above the legal definition of intoxication. Sleep is often a matter of life or death. Dr. Carol Ash, who is the director of sleep medicine at Meridian Health, says if you lose just 1 hour of sleep a week, you're at increased risk of heart attack. 1 hour a week increases the risk of heart attack. A Russian study found that nearly 63% of men who suffered from heart attack also had a sleep disorder. When we are sleep deprived, it impacts our immune system, so we're more vulnerable to, or susceptible to illnesses like the common cold. A lack of sleep also affects the body's ability to regulate weight and the way we look. You ladies will want to listen to this one. This is a study from the United Kingdom. It found that after sleeping 6 hours for 5 nights in a row, as opposed to 8 hours each of those nights, fine lines and wrinkles increased by 45%, blemishes went up by 13%, and redness increased by 8%. Sleep deprivation is also associated with most major mental disorders, especially depression and anxiety. Sleep deprivation hurts attention, memory, quantitative skills, logical reasoning, general math knowledge, fine motor movements, gross motor movements, even the ability to walk on a treadmill. What did the psalmist say? It's vain for you to rise up early and set up late. It's vain for you to burn the candle at both ends. Why? It has a harmful effect on your body. So, how much sleep should we get? Now, I wish the Bible gave the answer to that question. I wish I could turn to chapter and verse and say, see, it says right here, here's how much sleep you have to get. And that would solve the issue, wouldn't it? The Bible didn't do that. What the Bible has done is tell us that we are stewards of this body and we're expected to take care of this body. Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said, "Know ye not that you are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" He said, "If any man destroy the temple of God, him shall God destroy." God gave you a body. He expects you to take care of it. He later told the Corinthians that someday all of us will appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, whether it be good or bad. Someday I'm going to stand before God and explain to him why I did the things with and to this body that I did. Now, I don't want to stand before him and have to explain why I was lazy and slept all the time, but neither do I want to stand before God and tell him why I destroyed this body because I didn't sleep enough. So how much is enough sleep? Well, for that, I'm going to have to turn to experts other than me. And what I'm about to tell you doesn't come out of your Bible, but it doesn't contradict your Bible. And it comes from studies, and it makes good sense to me. This comes from the National Institutes of Health. They say how much sleep we need varies between individuals, but generally changes as we age. But here's the breakdown. School-aged children need at least 10 hours of sleep a night. Teenagers... You ready for this, teenagers? Teenagers should sleep at least 9 to 10 hours a night. Adults should sleep 7 to 8 hours a night. Wonder how many of us get the daily required minimum of sleep. Studies show that not many do. In fact, 31% of high school students report getting less than 8 hours of sleep on an average school night. So, teenagers, you want a way to do better than the persons you're at school with? Here's the way. Sleep more. Well, that doesn't make sense. I'll never get it all done. Yeah, but you'll know it better. Sleep more. The reality is we all need sleep. And the truth of our text is clear. It's vain for you to burn the candle at both ends. Why? Because we need sleep. Because it reduces productivity. And because it's harmful to the body when you don't get enough sleep. You know, I don't think I have ever quoted Ayn Rand from a pulpit anywhere, but I'm going to quote her this morning. I like the way she said this. She said, "You can avoid reality, but you cannot avoid the consequences of avoiding reality." So you can blow this off and say, yeah, right, sure, Pastor, whatever you say. And you go on your merry way and you can deny yourself sleep. Go ahead. You can avoid reality, but sooner or later it's going to catch up with you. You cannot avoid the consequences of avoiding reality. I told you this morning's sermon is for those who won't sleep. If you're one of those workaholics who refuses to sleep, "Oh, I don't need sleep." Think about what the psalmist has said. It's vain for you to burn the candle at both ends. Someday you'll answer to God for it. Don't tell God you were not warned, because you just were. I'm making some changes in my life based on the truth of this text. It's not easy, and I'm not there yet. Maybe you need to make some changes too. And I'll tell you, it's not easy. But I think it's honoring to God. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the wonderful gift of sleep that you've given us. Forgive us for those times when we've spurned that gift. And we've thought maybe we're better than needing what you've given us. Help us to embrace it as a gift from you. and use us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.